COVID-19 has now claimed 150,000 lives in the U.S., and several states are recording their highest single death toll to date. Let's bring in Dr. Lena Nguyen. She's an emergency physician and public health professor at George Washington University. And Dr. Nguyen, the number of new cases is showing some signs of leveling off in some of the hard-hit places like Florida, Texas, and California, but other states are seeing an increase. It really looks like there's no longer a single epicenter of the pandemic here in the U.S. The virus is basically everywhere. How concerning is that?
It should be extremely concerning to all of us living in the U.S. and really around the world, because we know that we cannot be islands. We're in a much worse position than we were back in March, April, when we had one major epicenter of the New York area. Now we have many epicenters. And there is not much for us to celebrate right now. There are still escalating infections all around the rest of the country, including in the Midwest. And the parts that have seemed to plateau, they're plateauing at a really dangerous place that's overtaxing their healthcare system. Their ICUs are still overwhelmed. And so the plateaus that we're seeing do reflect the policy interventions put into place 2 to 3 weeks ago, and they are effective to some extent. But I think at this point, we have two options. If we stay the course and keep on putting together these piecemeal solutions, in a sense, it's whack-a-mole. We stabilize when things reach a critical breaking point, and we try to prevent that breaking point from occurring. Or we can take much more dramatic action now and actually put into place those policy interventions that will be painful in the short term. But if we have any chance of schools being open, people going back to work, then those are the sacrifices that we do have to make in the short term.
Yeah, you're saying a second lockdown. It's really one of our only options. That's what I'm hearing from you.
I mean, I think we as a country have a choice. We can decide on this path of continued high numbers of infections and preventable deaths, or we can do the hard things. And I hate saying this because nobody wants a second lockdown, and we wasted the first one. We should have done a lot more and just stayed the course the first time around. But I think if it's any lesson that we learned, it's that there are no shortcuts. We know what it takes. We've seen other countries be successful in crushing the curve. We can do it too.
We've been hearing from Dr. Anthony Fauci and others that young people now account for a significant number of the new cases that we're seeing. What does that tell you about the direction of this pandemic and possibly the language when we talk about who's most impacted by the coronavirus?
Yeah, we are seeing trends that it is younger people in the second round who have gotten infected more so than older individuals. And I think it's multifaceted. There is real quarantine fatigue that's set in. It's also that older individuals have taken heed of the precautions to be even more cautious than they were back in March. But we have to remember that what starts in the young does not stay in the young. And now we are actually seeing the median age of infections trend up. And the important thing for us is not to shame and stigmatize young people. It's to recognize that many of them may be essential workers who have had to go to work, that others are experiencing quarantine fatigue, but rather to work with everyone and encourage everyone to see this as we're in this together. We all need to wear masks. We all need to practice physical distancing. All need to wash our hands. We all need to do these basic public health interventions, because other countries have done it. It's not that they have a vaccine or a magic treatment that we somehow don't have.
One last question for you. I mean, we're still battling misinformation about this virus. Just this week, Sinclair Broadcasting delayed an interview that it had planned to run with a discredited scientist claiming that this disease was manufactured by Dr. Fauci. Why do you think misinformation about this disease is so persistent, and how do we stop it?
I'm so deeply concerned about the rampant misinformation that there is, because public health ultimately depends on public trust. One reason for how we got to where we are is that our elected officials are not on the same page with public health experts. We need to be emphasizing that masks, for example, are a public health imperative, not a political symbol. We need to talk about how public health is the roadmap to getting our economy back on track, not the enemy of the economy or the enemy somehow of public education. ultimately, this is about all of us in this together, protecting one another and helping to stem this deadly pandemic.
That's Dr. Lena Nguyen, an emergency physician and visiting professor at George Washington University. Dr. Nguyen, thank you.
Thank you.